Welcome back to a super fantasy football show. I'm John.
And I'm Randy.
Randa, week three is in the books, and it's a two-way tie for first, a four-way tie for third, and a two-way tie for seventh.
The basement, baby.
Boy, things are tight. But I guess two games in, they're going to be tight, you know?
Yeah, two games in, it's still a lot of ball to be played left.
We have... go ahead.
Oh, no, I think some teams made statements this week.
Big time, yeah. And I look like an idiot.
I think there's a few teams that... I might eat this, but I think it could be too early, but I think there's a few teams you can write off.
Wow, you're writing teams off already?
Writing teams off already. Wow. We'll get into that later. But, okay. One of them being myself, but I think we knew that.
Okay.
But...
All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the games, and then we'll talk about league pulse, and we'll talk about some of that kind of stuff. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Also, I don't let me forget mail time this week. I forgot it last week, and we were able to sneakily edit it in, but don't let me forget it.
By the way,
yes.
Kudos. Whoever was that beautiful soprano that sang the mail time intro, kudos. That sounded like someone that has been in show choir for years. Great voice. Not as good as Tom Haley doing a solo of Oklahoma, but that was up there. Whoever's voice that was, kudos. Great job.
That was you, right?
It was me.
Now I'm second guessing. Okay, nice. Well, then for a second I was like, was that like Steven maybe? Is that who he's talking about?
Oh, no, it was me.
I would love to hear Steven's version of it. I want to see if he can beat. Let's have Steven do his version. Send it in. We'll play them both live on the pod, and we'll vote to see who wins.
I'll ask him. I'm sure he'll be down.
I love it. Awesome. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get into last week's games. All right. NFL week two. Well, let's start here. Let's just rattle off the winners, and try to remember who you picked to win that game, just out of curiosity. Okay.
Correct.
The Iron City Olifants won. I picked them over Oink. So I got
correct.
That one.
I had the same pick. I picked you over Oink.
Altman and Sons versus Real Americans. I think we both went Real Americans.
Yes. Correct. Okay. We both picked me, and yeah, I lost that game. Big disappointment for the Real Americans over here.
And then Denny Irvine's Gatorade versus technical fouls.
I picked the technical fouls.
I don't quite remember the fucking balloons. God, I hate Zoom.
I'm pretty sure you picked the technical fouls as well. Okay. But we can always go back and look.
Okay. And then lastly, Running Fools versus Hawk Tua.
I believe I picked the Running Fools. I said Brian was going to write the ship.
I feel like I went Hawk Tua. I feel like I wanted an upset. So, okay. Okay. So I think you only got one wrong. I think I went 2-2. I might have gone 1-3, honestly. I kept track the first year. It just became too hard to keep track. I didn't have a good place for it. So, anyway. Okay.
I'll go back. I'll start listening. I like going back through the historical and...
Yeah. Okay.
Re-listening to the old episode. So I'll go back. I'll see if I can start keeping a better tally
perfect.
This season.
We got a stat guy now. All right. Okay. So now let's dive into some of these games. Let's start off with, really no good games this week. Okay. So let's start off with the really shitty game. Denny Irvine's Gatorade versus technical fouls. Boy, was this a stinker. 61.5 for Tom. And I will just say real quick, he was 100 points behind the top scoring team of the week. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Altman and Sons putting up 161.5. So I thought that was that was pretty funny. and technical fouls 104. I mean, still not a good day for the fouls, but snuck out of that one with a win.
I still think, though, strong showing from the fouls here, a few minor changes to his roster. And like, if you look, is this Trey? Yeah, Trey McBride from Arizona had 15 points. Jerry Jeudy had 9.5. Even Kirk Cousins this week had a rebound week.
Yeah, that gives you a little bit of hope. I still don't like having three quarterbacks, though. I mean, I think he's starting the right one.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's starting the quarterback with the most upside. They did come out and say, like, they do it with every rookie quarterback that's athletic. Like, learn to slide.
Yeah, right.
So, once Jaden Daniels, I think, gets that reeled in. Yeah, they gotta put some more talent around them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I think Chez found a little rookie diamond in the rough there with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, we'll see how that one pans out. I mean, the rushing upside is huge there, obviously.
John, what do you think of Denny Irvine's Gatorade trading Jalen Hurts to the running fools of the Witching
Hour? I forgot about that trade. Yeah, we should.
And he ended up rolling with Justin Fields. Not a bad outing from Justin Fields, but again, another week where, granted, the offensive line for the Steelers isn't doing Justin any favors.
Right.
But not a lot of production out of Justin Fields yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much better our offense is going to get than what it's been. I think we'll get some more touchdowns, but I think we've kind of, we might have reached our limit, honestly. But yeah, no, I honestly really like the trade for both parties. Just Tom hasn't had any development yet on his end. Jerome Ford only getting 6.5 and Zach Moss getting 4.5. So
only because I know he flies back from Paris on Thursday. And so he's probably not going to listen to this tonight or tomorrow when it comes out. He's probably going to hold it for Thursday.
Yeah. Hold it for
his plane ride.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little 30, 45 minute episode for your plane ride. I'm going to say this right here. I'm going to come out and say it. I said it early on. What would Denny Irvine's Gatorade do? How would they write this year's story of getting back to a fantasy football championship? And potentially, I know you laugh every time I say it, but grabbing that brass ring and finally bringing home a title.
Uh-huh.
The title that has eluded him for years. I'm going to say it right now on the pod. I think that book is closed on the season.
Yeah, his team looks pretty fucking bad. Was there a draft pick with that trade at all? Or was
it
all just straight up?
I think it was all those players straight up.
Hmm. See, I don't love that for Tom because I feel like Tom's best. Tom should honestly just start building for next season. And
exactly.
And are you going to keep Zach Moss or Jerome Ford or Brock Purdy? I wouldn't.
Yeah, I.
Ideally, I not ideally. I mean, hopefully you have three players that are better than those pieces of shit. Or are they young? Are Zach Moss and Jerome Ford, are they like rookies?
No. Zach Moss is – he's been in the league for I can't tell from this app. But, yeah, I think Zach Moss has been in the league for quite a bit.
I said I liked the trade, and then it just kind of tore it to shreds there.
But I – John, what was the year the Steelers lost to Green Bay in the Super Bowl? Is that
2010, the 2010 season.
That's where I'm at with Tom's team right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the 2011, 12, 13 Steelers.
Yeah,
there's a chance they're going to win some games. They're going to play spoiler, but I think their championship window has closed until they start rebuilding and building back that foundation up.
I totally agree. I mean, he still has a lot of young guys, so he's definitely just hoping those guys will pan out. And yeah, maybe Jerome Ford and Zach Moss are, I mean, I like the trade because I think it makes Tom's team this year stronger as a whole,
more well-rounded.
I think if you're Tom, you'd love to get something for the future out of this, but that's okay. Still decent.
Back to something you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know why Tom didn't start tanking in week two?
Why?
Because he's got to get through the real American in week three. It's rivalry week, baby. Tom wasn't focused on week two. Week two was Tom was going to enjoy Paris. He was going to go around, throw the baguette under the Eiffel Tower. Tom was 1 week ahead in his mind. Yeah. He's focusing solely on the real American. Why? I have no idea. I'm 0-2.
Well, I wish he would have paid a little bit more attention to the waivers last week, but that's okay. All right, let's move on to technical fouls. Yeah, 110.5 beating the real Americans, who had 75. These are still projections. My bad.
I don't know what you're reading, but if you're on my game, I played Altman and Sons this week.
Oh, what am I?
And I don't know where you're
I'm
at.
I'm on last week. Sorry. Yeah, you kick us off.
So Altman and Sons with a victory over the Real Americans.
Uh-huh.
161.5 points for Altman and Sons to my 97.5.
Here we go. Now I find it. Okay. Yeah.
Overall, I thought it was a very good game.
In what sense?
I just thought it was competitive up till the 4 o'clock hour, and then I stopped following it.
Okay. Because you had James Cook pop way off. He had 26.5.
James Cook popped off on Thursday night. I was riding high.
Uh-huh.
James Cook went out there. He tried to put the real Americans on his back.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to bring home a win this week, but he was unsuccessful.
Yeah.
Jackson Smith and Njigba.
Okay.
I think I got caught. I'm getting closer with his full name. I'm going to get it.
Okay.
But anyways, he had 17 points, 117 yards. Great game out of him.
Yeah.
That was
about it for you.
From that, very disappointing the rest of the roster. Patrick Mahomes with measly 12 points.
Yeah, St. Patrick's. He's been off to a rough start for you.
Yeah, Joe Mixon couldn't.
He got hurt, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, couldn't get close to his last week's total of 23.5. He had 5.5. Tank Dell, another disappointing game. Tank Dell's about to get cut. But let's.
Yeah, it seems like he's not going to be the guy in that offense.
Tank Dell needs to get his shit together. Mark Andrews is also on Randy's shit list.
He had a good week. 7 points.
I kept you, Mark. I kept you when no one else in the country wanted you. I kept you. And I went all in on Mark Andrews, and you continue to disappoint me. But
as Brian likes to put out, Brian likes to point out, you could have kept Alvin Kamara instead of Mark Andrews.
You know what, Brian?
Who you traded three first round draft picks for.
Brian, shoulda, woulda, coulda. You could have sucked my balls in Vegas, but you didn't, buddy. I could have gave him an old hug. I don't want to hear what I could have done, should have done. I'm focused on the now, Brian. As I've said before, I don't deal in hypotheticals. I deal in absolutes. Yes, I fucked up.
Okay. Well, that's pretty absolute. I mean, that pretty much nailed it.
But it's the journey, Brian. It's uh-huh. not where you've been. It's yeah. where you're going.
Sure. Well, where you're going is to last place in the East Division, whereas Altman and Sons move up to second place in the division at 1-1, putting up the league high, 161.5. What rule did we change that is, are scores like just inflated because of a rule change, or are people just like popping off lately?
I'm not exactly sure. We went up what, half a point PPR?
No, we're still half point. I guess it's because we got rid of the tight end position and added
a flex. I think flex. That helped pump numbers up.
Yeah, but, yeah, because we've seen some monster. Like, I don't have access to the league history, but 161.5. That's got to be pushing a top five score all time.
It's got to be up there. I'll take a look later when I get some time and see if I can come up with the highest scoring games.
Yeah.
League history.
Yeah. His team really popped off. Showed me up because I was talking some shit the past 2 weeks. But
that's what I was going to say. I wanted to commend Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
There was a lot of slander against you two last week coming from me and John.
Yeah.
And you two popped off.
And just like short guy self-hatred. Like maybe I need to look at myself. Like, I mean, if Kyler Murray can do it.
If you look at Eric's team as a whole, Kyler Murray popped off, 3 touchdowns, 266 yards, 27 fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
Breece Hall had a hell of a game, 20.5 fantasy points. Jonathan Taylor, 14 points. CeeDee Lamb went off at one point, 17 points. Marvin Harrison Jr., 2 touchdowns, 130 yards, 27 fantasy points. Devontae Adams, 21.5. Drake London with 14.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And even if you look at Brian's bench, Eric's bench. Calvin Ridley had 22 points. Singletary had 13. Eric's getting the most out of his entire roster.
He is, yeah. Yeah, he had a pretty fucking incredible week. I mean, yeah. I feel like Marvin Harrison really popped off, and everyone else just performed like exactly how you would want them to. Like they all met their projection or slightly above it. So yeah, incredible win, and really, really a statement win, as you said earlier. I think this is definitely one of those statement wins, saying Albin and Sons Incorporated is here to be reckoned with. And I respect them for it. All right, now let's...
One quick note on that.
Please.
Friend of the podcast, Tatua, just our thoughts and prayers are with you. I hope you're all right, buddy.
Yes, we really do.
We'll say, though, Tua, you can't kill DeMar. DeMar Hamlin took that shot right to the chest like a champion. Can't kill him. That was bad. I really hope you cut that. That was terrible.
Oh, you're going to make me an edit.
Leave it in.
No, I'll make a mark.
Nah, it's not like DeMar, too, is ever going to hear this, so.
That's true. All right, fuck it. We'll leave it
in. It's not like I commented on his lobster hands.
All right, let's move on to my game, Iron City Olyphants versus Oink. We had this one as the game of the week last week, I think. And... Didn't really pull through. Really, really tough injury luck for the optimistic Oink. I mean, holy shit. AJ Brown, Kenneth Walker, Keenan Allen were and T. Higgins were all hurt. So he couldn't play any of them. Rashad White got hurt in the middle of the game pretty early on, I'm pretty sure. I think there's someone else.
Puka Nacua and Christian McCaffrey on IR.
Yeah, those two on fucking IR. That, man, that is really fucked up that the 49ers did that. It seems like there were a lot of big injuries this week, and that there were, that there's just been like a later release on this information lately.
Yeah, they're holding on to it a lot later.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's like, I don't know if they like changed the rules of when they have to release what, but I feel like it's kind of fucking us a little bit over here. So wish they would get their shit together, but that's okay. So yeah, 97.5 out of Oink. Pretty solid performances, but just couldn't get the job done there. I guess Josh Allen, that's a pretty big disappointment. Only getting 9 points in a 31-point win. That's
correct,
that's
but rough. Three of those went to the running back, and three of those touchdowns went to the running back. Mm-hmm. And Josh Allen was playing, close personal friend Josh Allen was playing with a bum left hand. He had it all gloved up, he had the two middle fingers taped up. I don't know if you noticed.
Is he left handed?
No, he's right handed, but he looked a little timid out there, looked a little afraid to run the ball.
Okay,
he had that weird grip on it because he wasn't wearing like a receiver glove, he had like a big, it almost like an oven mitt.
Well, they had a defensive touchdown, too.
Glove.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast.
Close
personal friend, Josh Allen. Big disappointment out of him. But some notables from Moink.
Yeah, let's hear it.
DK Metcalf, 23 points.
Mm-hmm, that's huge.
I'm going to butcher this. Ramondre Stevenson.
You got it.
Oh, good. Let's go. 15 points for New England and an overtime loss. They lost 20-23 in overtime. And the kicker for Dallas was 17 points, Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason for San Francisco with a respectable 16.5. It's a solid outing.
Yeah, how about that?
I wish my running backs would score 16.5 points.
Well, you know, they could have, because you actually could have had Jordan Mason on your football team. the fact that he fell, fellas, listen. Come on, let's... I know it was only week two, you know, but this is where champions are made, okay? You gotta be watching the waiver wire. Dust off the cobwebs. Come on. Week three, we can't be letting Oink getting their backup, their star running backs backup. Come on.
That was the league's gift to David for everything he does.
Honestly, yes, he deserves it. And for how many other injuries he has, he's allowed to have him. But yeah, pretty scary for Oink having all these injury problems so early. Because I think that's just going to put more pressure on the back half of the season, where I think if everyone gets better, they're going to be a very good fucking team. So,
now, John, kudos to you. Mm-hmm. You went out and put a stomping on Oink. You had a statement win last week against the Running Fools.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back this week with another one.
Yeah, huge, huge play out of the guys yet again. 146.5, second highest score of the week. So pretty happy with everyone over there. Obviously, Alvin Kamara leading the way, 42 points.
Yeah, 42 points.
That's crazy.
From Alvin Kamara. Nico Collins, another one, 23 points.
Yep.
A-Chain, 24.5.
Yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs, 13.5. Even Lamar Jackson, 15 points. And I just want to point out, why Lamar Jackson, the best running quarterback in the league.
Oh, my God.
So you saw what I'm talking about, the very last play of the game.
Yeah.
The best running quarterback we've seen in this league since Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
Had one man to beat. You can't tell me he could have out-juked him.
Dude, I was watching that live, and I was like, fuck yeah. Even if he didn't score, it was already going to be like 35 or like 3.5 points.
Go for it.
Yeah. Seriously, when I saw he only had like the two guys – and really only one guy who had a chance. I was like, why would you fucking lateral that ball? I was...
Put your foot in the dirt, make a move, and go. He had it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have to rewatch it to see how actually close it was. But in real time, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You had it.
Yeah, I feel like at that point, you're the best athlete on the field. Just fucking go for it. Like, you're as close as anyone's going to get. You know, you might as well fucking try. Whatever. Still got the win. Very happy about that. Very, very pleased with my team. I think, I mean, still some injury troubles here too, though. Tyreek Hill, did he get hurt, or was it just his quarterback? Maybe it's just that Tua got hurt. So that's not great. Raheem Mostert's been out.
Save for you.
Cooper Kupp. That was
have
the other
a diamond
one.
In the rough on the bench.
Malik Neighbors.
Again, week one, he had 8.5 points. But this week, 23 points, 10 receptions. He had 18 targets on the day,
mm-hmm.
127 yards and a touchdown. Looking like he's becoming a favorite target of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and thank God for that. I mean, that's why I haven't been starting him, because Daniel Jones is a quarterback. But I think he's earned a starting spot. So excited about that. All right, let's move on to our last game of the week. Running Fools versus Hakutua. We haven't done this one, right?
Nope, we have not.
Running Fools, 145 to Hakutua's 117. I mean, really as good of a performance out of Hakutua as you could hope for.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think I picked Hakutua last week. And I think that's why, because I knew that they could have a very solid week. It's just that Brian's team had so much better of a week. I think, mm-hmm. I mean, Brian's got to be, well, yeah, let's go through, let's start with Hakutua. We'll start with him. Then we'll run through the Running Fools. Really top to bottom, just very solid performances. CJ Stroud was a little under his projection. He got 14. Travis Kelce only getting a half point really hurts you. But every other spot, you're pretty much exceeding your projection.
And I believe Isaiah Pacheco got hurt during the game.
Yep. And Debo also, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So a couple kicks in the knackers there. But still, really strong performance. Concerned about their bench a little bit, although they have, you know, Jameson Williams put up 10.5 this week. That's really all I like. I throw George Pickens in there because he's going to score a touchdown eventually. So,
Yeah.
yeah, still, it's tough for them because they're falling to 0-2, fourth in the
I'll tell you
West.
this right now. I wasn't high on Hakua at the beginning of the year, but after the first couple of weeks have played out, I think Hakua is definitely a better team than Denny Irvine's Gatorade, who we had projected higher.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I'm concerned about his injuries going forward,
Correct.
but
I'm just
yeah.
saying, looking at the roster,
This squad, this is a decent squad. I'll take this squad over
this
Denny
is a
Irvine.
solid squad. I think this is one that week to week can compete with the best of them.
Yep. Well, and speaking of the best of them, second place in the West Division, the Running Fools put up 145, third best in the league this week. And yeah, obviously you're putting up 145 points. You're gonna pretty much everyone is hitting there. So Jalen Hurts, 23. Kyron Williams a little below his projection, 12, where he was
Another
projected
guy coming
18.
up, Ryan.
Man, but I think if you're Brian, well, I'm on Ross St. Brown getting 16 and a half this week, where I think he got like less than 5 last week. That's a good sign. You knew he was going to bounce back, but although I think he might have gotten injured also this week, unfortunately. And then I think the big win for Brian is Justin Jefferson getting 21 points. And it appears that he's going to continue to be good even with Sam Darnold as his quarterback. So that's a pretty big win. 18 and a half for James fucking Connor. James Connor is like so in my fantasy blind spot. I just every year I'm like, no, he's gonna suck. I know he's gonna suck this year. And
He's
then
out
he's
there in
good.
Arizona just withering away in the desert sun, and everyone forgets about
Yeah, but yeah, very interesting. 18 and a half out of
him.
him.
Big shout out to the kickers the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Fairbairn for Houston had 20 points. Another strong showing. A lot of field goals being kicked.
They've been fucking booting them too.
Yeah. And wasn't it Brian bitching about getting rid of the kicker?
I don't know.
Hey, we should keep the kicker. I like it. It's one third of the game, I was always taught.
That's right. I like the kicker position. I vote keep it.
I will say this, going forward, Brian has his top two receivers really are both battling leg injuries that seem to be nagging. I think Amon-Ra's is from camp, potentially.
Oh, shit.
He's been lingering, and it looks like, from what I can see, Justin Jefferson has a quad contusion. Which
Oh,
I don't
damn
know
it.
if
I didn't
that's
know
from the
that.
game or if that's just been nagging or if that's just because he runs a lot of fucking routes. I don't know.
Oh man. All right. Well, let's get into League Pulse then, I guess, since we've gone through all the games. All right, according to ESPN, in first place we have the Iron City Olyphants. Let's do East and West, and then we'll go through their full standings because I don't they're a little weird sometimes. So in the East we have Technical Fouls in first, 2-0 undefeated. Altman and Sons and Denny Irvine's tied for second, both 1-1. And in the basement, 0-2, the Real Americans. 24% chance to make the playoffs there.
So you're saying
Interesting.
there's a chance, Johnny. You're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, they're not counting you out at all.
Let's make a run for it. Tommy, if you're in the mood to tank, I'm willing to wheel and deal draft picks. I want to get right back in this race.
All right, and then in the west side, we have in first place Iron City Olyphants 2-0, Running Fools and Oink in tied for second, both 1-1, and Hawk Tua in the basement 0-2. Yeah, I feel like that's about what I expected. I kind of expected Hawk Tua to be towards the bottom of the west, and like we said, those injuries, I don't see him climbing out of the bottom anytime soon over there. But then you have the Real Americans on the other side, and they also kind of suck sometimes.
Hey, but the real Americans are due, baby. The real Americans are due. Come on,
Okay,
I told everyone I was going to keep tabs on this, so I think I'm going to do it week to week now. The scoring title update.
yeah.
Currently, the Iron City Olyphants. Oh yeah, buddy, get them vitamins. Get them vitamins. It's good for the soul. Anyways, Not to go off track, but an update on the scoring title. The Iron City Oliphants have a total of 300 points for.
Let's go, Fonts.
And in behind them in second place of the scoring title are the Running Fools with 270. They have, or they're 30 points behind in the scoring title hunt.
Yeah. Now. Yep, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, please comment. Please comment.
No. After
now,
you.
On the flip side of this, the most points against.
Okay. Yeah.
The Real Americans are in the lead for the most points against, the most points having scored on at 272.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Hawk Tua is 1 point behind me with 271.
Oh, damn. That's crazy. That sucks for you too.
Oh, it sucks. We're getting everyone's A game.
Yeah.
And I will say this. Everyone thinks my team is the worst, and record-wise, it is. I'm not going to lie. 0-2 is doing me no favors. But scoring-wise, the lowest scoring team so far this year, Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Wow.
With 163.5 points.
Damn.
I'm not far behind him. This week could tip the scales one way or another, but I'm sitting at 172.5. So I got a 9-point lead on Tom in scoring.
What did he put up this week? 63.5 or something?
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking bad for a team that's actually trying in week two. That's pretty fucking bad.
Just a little update on where we are points wise in the league.
Okay. All right. Well, let's I'll read out what the what ESPN says we are, our rankings. Or maybe that's I don't know what this season stats is. It has 1 Iron City Oliphants, 2 Technical Fouls, 3 Running Fools, 4 Altman and Sons, 5 Oink, 6 Denny Irvine, 7 Hawk Tua, 8 Real Americans. So I'm not.
Yeah, that's the power rankings.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense, I guess. All right, well, that's how ESPN has you ranked. I feel like I pretty. Well, no, I feel like I pretty strongly disagree with that. I'd have Fonts 1, Fools 2. Oink 3, just because I'm scared of their bench mostly. 4, Fouls. 5, Alban and Sons. No, reverse those. And then Hawk 2, Real Americans.
Oh, Johnny, I don't love it. I don't love it.
No?
Here's how I'd say the power rankings are.
Okay, lay it on me.
I'm going to keep the Iron City Oliphants at 1. I'm putting Altman and Sons at 2. The Running Fools at 3. Technical Fouls at 4. Then Oink. Then Hawk Tua. Then me, then Denny Irvine's Gatorade. I think by the end of the year, I'm going to finish ahead of Denny Irvine's Gatorade. I still think they're the worst team in the league.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I respect the hell out of it. All right. Is that enough? Is that everything for League Pulse? Do we cover it all?
I think we covered it.
All right. Fuck yeah, dude. Let's move on to Week 3. And what do you think our Game of the Week should be? If you had to pick.
Normally, Week 3, you got David versus Goliath. I'd pick me and Tom as Game of the Week. It's Rivalry Week. But
I like it. Let me
take a look at it real quick. I think.
I agree with you. I think it should be your team, your game.
Every time me and Tom play, it's Rivalry Week. It's going to be chirping all week.
Yeah.
And when this comes out, he's going to be angry.
Oh, he's going to be a fucking bull in a china shop. He's going to be fresh off the plane from Paris. And he's just going to be so fucking pissed off. But
I right. will say, Uncle Randy's pick for Game of the Week, I think, has to be Altman and Sons versus Technical Fouls.
Ooh, yeah.
Battle, that's where battle I for think the East. You finally are going to see one of them is going to have to make a statement this week
mm-hmm.
to solidify their place in the top four.
Yep.
And, you know, it ESPN right now has a projected Altman and Sons 125.4
mm-hmm.
to 106.8. And you want to end with that, or you want to start with the game of the week? I think this should be the game of the week.
Okay, well, let's save it for the end then.
All right, we'll backtrack.
Well, actually.
We're already in.
We'll do it. We'll do your game blast.
All right, fine.
I know you have a great rant
to say about that. But ESPN has it 125.4 for Altman and Sons to the technical fouls 106.8. But I think this year, I don't know. I like both teams. I think Altman and Sons is a very strong team, top to bottom. And I think the technical fouls, they're here to play.
Mm-hmm.
Chez once told me it's all about the game and how you play it. Chez is here, just in here like it's the game of Risk. Just shuffling pieces around super strategically. Looking at Chez's roster, some pretty solid matchups. I mean, Saquon and the Eagles up at New Orleans. New Orleans defense, I think, is sneakily good this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Saquon has a chance to underperform.
Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins against Pittsburgh. I don't know how productive he's going to be, how stellar our defense is, but
Steel Curtain, Robinson, baby.
Bijan kind of tore us up, and so did.
True.
I don't know. Was it the running back that really cost the Steelers?
This past week?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
I don't think so, though.
So who are you picking? What do you think?
I always do my picks before we get on.
Uh-huh.
I look at them and do a thing. And you know what? I'm not going off script. I'm not going to change it. My heart.
Oh, he's battling with this one.
My heart.
Uh-huh.
tells me, fuck it. I'm going with my gut. I'm going with what I said from the minute I wrote it down. The technical fouls. I think Matthew Albert Chez comes out, makes a statement, and asserts himself as a team that is here to make a run at it.
Wow. Picking the dogs. 106.8 to 125.4. I think, I'm interested to see what kind of moves technical fouls make this week, at least in as far as their lineup. But I got to say, I really feel like I ate my words from last week on Altman and Sons Incorporated. And you know what? I think they do have a pretty solid ball club. I mean, Kyler Murray looked really fucking good. Marvin Harrison Jr. is apparently very good at football. And maybe it's recency bias, but I can see all these players continuing to perform really well or better. So I'm going with Altman and Sons Incorporated over the technical fouls in the game of the week.
All right, game of the week. The game of the week! I will say this, though. One thing I do see on here, Matthew went projection-wise and put Joe Burrow back in as the starting quarterback against the Redskins. I know that's not PC anymore. The Commanders. But I think he's making a mistake there. The Bengals don't look very good this year on both sides of the football.
Mm-hmm.
If I were Matthew, I would go Jaden Daniels. I'd ride it. I would take it's over the Bengals, I would take the rookie. I just don't think the Bengals are as strong of a team.
I think I like this call this week, starting Joe Burrow, because I don't know. I just he's been good at football for a long time. And I'm not quite sure that he's done being good at football. I think he's just getting off to a rough start, probably. And Washington generally kind of sucks. So So I actually like that call. I feel like the Bengals might turn around this week, but I fucking hope
I do not. Have a question. Who has Ja'Marr Chase?
That would be Tom.
So I thought Chase was. Wait, I'm reading. You guys know it takes me a while. Okay, now Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins is still sidelined by hamstring injury. I thought there was a chance Ja'Marr Chase was also hurt. I'm incorrect on that. Ja'Marr Chase, there is no injury.
Okay.
But yeah, I still think if I were Chez, I'd go Jaden Daniels, but it's his team. Do what you want, buddy. I'm still taking the fools. Jesus. I got Brian on the today. Brian has invaded. He's in my head, and it's week three, and I'm not even playing him. But I'm taking the fouls. Still taking the fouls.
All right, well, let's just keep confusing you, and let's run over to the running fools versus Oink. This is another – this is also – you know, battle for second place in the West Division, both 1-1. So this could also be considered the game of the week. I think the only reason it's not, again, is those really, really key injuries for Oink, which kind of take the fangs out a little bit of that squad.
I'm with you.
Looks like, going through his lineup a little bit here, looks like some of those players that were hurt last week are back in, at least. Kenneth Walker III is back in there. Uh-huh. I can't remember if any of these other players were in his lineup last week, but you still have a pretty extensive list of players who are hurt or questionable or doubtful, and that's tough. It's tough to win like that. But, I mean, then again, you have Jordan Mason, who is going to probably put up 15 points again. But then on the other side, go over to the Fools. You have – well, actually, do you want to add anything about Oink before we move on?
So ESPN has it projected running Fools 131 to Oink at 113.9.
Yes, thank you. I forgot that.
And I think going with what you said, this could potentially also be a game of the week. Mm-hmm. Had David not had all those injuries on his roster, I feel like this game is real high scoring. It's projected real high. And you have a shootout on both sides. I think David, with all the injuries, I don't know if he'll be able to overcome that, especially against a juggernaut like Brian.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, let's go over to the Fools now, because they also have a couple red Qs on their side, with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Justin Jefferson. So if you're missing those two guys, you'll probably throw in Mike Evans, and maybe Alien Lizard gets a start, because Rogers fucking loves throwing to him. So
you call him
Alien Lizard?
I was gonna say, I thought I heard that.
Isn't that what you call him?
Yeah, Alien Lizard.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, definitely not as many injury concerns over there, I guess, is ultimately my point. But they have a pretty strong lineup over there on the full side. Jalen Hurts, Kyren Williams, Bijan, a couple question marks at wide receiver. I imagine, I don't know, if I'd guess, I'd say probably at least one of those guys is probably going to play. So, I think it's a fully stacked team against a very injured team. So, unfortunately, it's not as good of a matchup as we would have liked, but I'm going to go with the running Fools in this battle for the exclamation point.
I'm going to hop on that bandwagon with you, Johnny. I like the running Fools in this one. I got no complaints. I think, like I said, the injuries for Team Oink over there, I think it's going to be too much to overcome. They need all the firepower they can get right now, and I just don't think they have it. All right. In this one, I'm taking the running Fools soundly.
Taking the Fools. All right. We're in agreement. Now, let's move on to Iron City Olifants versus Hawk Tua. The Fonts are projected 121.6. Hawk Tua projected 87.6, but that is with a couple injured guys in his lineup. So you imagine that's probably going to get bumped up to 110 or so, if I had to guess, being optimistically. So I mean, I'll kick us off because I want to keep this pretty short. I'm taking my guys in this one. We're the projected winners. We've been playing our asses off, and we're also dealing with a few injuries on our side, Cooper Kupp mainly. But you know what? I think the boys are going to persevere. I think they're going to keep fighting, and I'm taking my guys.
John, I want to let you in on something.
Yeah. Share a secret.
Historically, from 2015 to 2023,
Yes.
you are 2-7 in week 3 matchups. You have the worst week 3 record historically in the league.
He's really diving into the stats.
And I will say, coming in at there's like a two-way tie for like third and fourth place. Hawk Tua, historically, even though they haven't been in the league as long, historically, that team is 5-4 in week 3.
Okay, interesting.
We said it earlier. I don't want to keep bashing on the guy. I like Hawk Tua better than Denny Irvine's Gatorades. And I like Hawk Tua better than me. But there ain't no reality that Hawk Tua is better than the Iron City Olifants. I think you finally start pumping those week 3 stats up.
So
I'm
three and
going with the
seven.
Iron City Olifants.
All right, you're taking the fonts. I like it. I'll take it.
Soundly. Soundly.
That sounds good to me. Let's make it happen. All right, and for our unofficial game of the week, rivalry week, Denny Irvine's Gatorade versus the Real Americans, the battle for the other battle for the basement seems to be the theme of your season, Rando.
Name of the year, baby.
The Real Americans projected 101 and Denny Irvine's projected 106.5. Let's take a look at these two squads. Let's start with Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Let's see. Justin Fields at the quarterback position. You don't love it. You don't love it. Derrick Henry, you do love it. Jamar Chase, you imagine that's going to turn around. Okay, looking pretty good. Like I said, still not loving Zach Moss and Jerome Ford. I think they're going to be fine, but they're not going to wow you for the most part. Brandon Ayuk is due, so might have something there. And then if you go over to the real Americans, St. Patrick at their quarterback over there, been struggling so far this year, only averaging 12.8 points. That's tough. Joe Mixon, questionable for them. James Cook, Tank Dell, and so on and so forth. Mark Andrews in that fucking lineup. Are you gonna ever bench Mark Andrews, or is it just a statement that you're gonna leave him in your starting lineup?
Listen. Like the little mouse in Ratatouille that was behind the cooking. I'll never reveal my secret recipe. Never. I want to tell you this, John. Look, we can sit here. We can dissect these two rosters tonight on a Tuesday at 7:26 p.m. But let me tell you're wasting your breath. Where this game is won for this week, it's a battle of the waiver wire.
And now you want to
Which
pay
one of
attention.
us, which one of us, Randy or Tom, is going to make the most use of the waiver wire to improve their team? Is it Tom in France or is it Randy in the Eastern time zone? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Tom knows something I don't.
He's in the
But
future. He might.
I don't think we can dissect it all you want. But if you look at Tom's roster today and you look at mine today, it's going to be completely different tomorrow once that waiver wire processes.
Wow.
So I think
Okay.
you're wasting your breath. I think this game comes down to heart. And Tom doesn't have it. First of all, not only do I want to beat him, I want to beat him by the widest fucking margin possible. Every single one of you has been more than accepting of my illness, my diabetes. And Tom last night texts me 2:30 our time, or no, what time? Yeah, like 2:30 in the evening our time. I don't know what time it was. And he's not even in France anymore. He was in Belgium.
Fucking Belgium.
Yeah, in Belgium. From? And he says to me, LOL, LOL, with an emoji after it, and says, I'd bring you back some Belgian chocolates, but I don't want to kill you, my fat friend. Just taunting me with my diabetes.
Trying to rattle you, get in your head.
Trying to get in my head early, but it's not going to work, Tom. It's not going to work. This whole season, I know my team is in the shitter. But this is my Super Bowl, Tom. This is my fantasy football championship. And I have made it this season's goal to embarrass you and put the nail in your story. This story ends this week at the hands of the Real American. Book closed. Dunzo.
Oh my God. Incredible. All that being said, I'm going with Danny Irvine's Gatorade in this one.
You bitch. You bitch. Have some conviction, John.
No, his squad, he just has better guys. I really don't like your team. But that being said, he can put up some stinkers, so wouldn't be surprised to see the Real American squeak one out, but I'm gonna take the Gatorades in this one.
The Real American is about to bring hard times on Tom Haley and his family. And that's all I got to say. The Real American is walking away in rivalry week. Week 3 with a W. And just like Jameis Winston, we're going to eat that W. Nom, 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 nom.
Oh, man. All right. What an end to the picks. That was incredible. Any other notes about any of the games?
Just want to throw back here. I did a lot of research on this, but I just want to go through it real quick.
Tell us what you got.
Historical week 3 records.
Mm-hmm.
2015 to 2023. I'm going to rattle them off.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, actually, John, before I do that, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Oh, no, you already knew this. We did this before. Who was the team with the most ties? Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Boring. Anyways,
boring. So starting with the, and these are in no order at all. I just wrote our names down and I did the records.
Okay.
Real Americans in week 3 from 2015 to 2023 are 3-5-1.
Okay.
The Iron City Olifants are 2-7. The technical fouls are 5-4. Oink is 4-5. Hawktua is 5-4. Altman and, or we're going to skip Altman and Sons for a minute.
Yeah.
Denny Irvine's Gatorade, 2-5-2 in week 3. 2-5-2 in week 3 for Denny Irvine's Gatorade historically.
Oh, now, you two are probably going to fucking tie this game.
That's happened. That happened in week 3 2 years ago.
I thought so. It sounds fucking familiar.
Now, I will say the two best teams historically in our league in week 3 are Altman and Sons at 6-2-1. And the Running Fools at 7-2. Historically, those are the records for week 3 in our league.
So who is the best one then?
Brian, the Running Fools. They're 7-2 in week 3.
Sorry, I got distracted. The Fools are 7-2.
The Fools are 7-2, and Altman and Sons is 6-2-1.
Okay, well, there you have it. We'll see some possible mix-ups in the all-time history week 3 rankings after this week. We'll see what everyone's got. Should we move on to mail time?
Mail time. We should. It's ready. I'm ready for mail time.
Fuck yeah. All right. We have an email in from the commissioner.
Ooh.
He's got a fun fact for us. So we have going into week two, Tom Brady is still rostered in 1.4% of fantasy leagues, just behind Russell Wilson, Drake May, and ahead of rookies, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and then Jameis Winston. And then way behind all of them is Kenny Bitch Boy Pickett at 0.2%. What's going on with him this year? Is he the backup even in Philadelphia?
I'm not sure. He might be number two or number three. I'll take a look.
I'm really disappointed in him. just from the complete package, I'm very disappointed.
I had such high hopes and.
Oh my god! Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just that they looked so fucking good in the preseason, and they got my hopes up. And at least they had the decency to suck in the preseason this year, so I have zero expectations of them. But yeah, he really let me down. And so far, this team this year has really made me proud. Great defense, and we're getting enough points. And no turnovers. That's fucking huge.
Exactly. That's big. According to the two Eagles depth charts that I looked at, mm-hmm. Kenny Pickett is listed as quarterback number two.
Okay. All right. Well, good for him being number two over there when he could have had a chance to start for Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Like, if we hadn't gotten rid of him, like if we had gotten Russell Wilson and kept Kenny Pickett, we wouldn't have gone after Justin Fields, I don't think. And therefore, Kenny Pickett, like he wanted, would have been the starter for the Steelers to start the season because Russell Wilson is fucking hurt. Am I wrong?
John, if I was a prophet, I would know that answer. But, you know, it shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Instead, he's now the backup in Philadelphia.
I will say, surprisingly, and I don't know if you noticed this at the last or at this week's Backyard Brawl when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Two pick games in a row, they have shown video packages for Panthers and the pros. And they show like James Conner, Jordan Whitehead, all these former Pitt players that are still in the league. They show Kenny Pickett, but they use his Steeler highlights. And they're surprised when everyone boos. If you want the people to cheer him, play his Pitt highlights.
Yeah, that's what they should do.
And people will cheer. Show the fake slide.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, did they show Pitt highlights for this game?
No, they did it again. They showed his Steeler highlights. I had a lady yell at me again because I booed him. He was great at Pitt. I loved Kenny at Pitt.
You fucking
don't
booed
show
him.
Me. I don't want to relive those shitty Steeler years with Kenny as a Steeler. I don't want to do it. I'm gonna boo it every goddamn time.
Oh my god, it's so fucking funny. You did boo it. I remember that now. You did.
That old lady turned around. She's like, "For all he did for you," I'm like, "That was a Steeler game. That had nothing to do with this."
Oh my god, that is too fucking funny. I love it. I do. I hope you keep booing them. Huge disappointment.
Any more fun facts from the commish?
Nope. That's the end of mail time this week. Email us at superfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. If you have any fun facts you want to share, if you want to shit on Kenny Pickett or whatever else you got, we'd love to hear it. Email us in.
Guys, also, I want to let you know, you don't have to just send an email. You could also send it in a voice memo. We'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear your questions directly from your voice rather than I love John reading me your emails. It's great. John's voice puts me to sleep at night. It soothes me. But nothing would be better than just hearing it directly from the horse's mouth.
Well, there you go. send us in voice memos. Let's see what you got. Jesus, we're over an hour again. I think that's all we got. Are we done with this rando?
I think we're good, Johnny.
Best luck to everyone this week except for Didiano. This has been a Super Fantasy Football Show. We'll be back next week. And until then, I'll see you at Froggies.
Take us out, Glow City.